This is Under the Microscope. I'm Janet Saidi. As of last spring, Missouri was considered on track, ahead even, in developing a state health insurance exchange. It's basically a centralized online marketplace where individuals and small businesses can compare and purchase health plans. Under the federal health care law, exchanges are supposed to be up and running in each state by the year 2014. But as Alana Gordon reports, politics appear to have put the brakes on efforts to set up one in Missouri.
The so-called Show Me Health Insurance Exchange would be for health insurance what Travelocity is for airline tickets, a place where people can view multiple plans at once and assess policies and prices. That's according to State Representative Chris Mollendorp from Raymore, Missouri. The Republicans spent last session crafting legislation to establish the framework for a state-run exchange. Mollendorp opposes the mainstay of the federal health law, an insurance mandate, but he took the lead in setting up an exchange, because if Missouri doesn't, under the federal health law, the federal government will run one instead. Lawmakers didn't like that idea, and in April, Mollendorp's proposal for a Show Me Health Insurance Exchange passed the House unanimously.
157-0. So every wing of the Republican Party, whatever ism that you are, if you're a moderate or a country club or a Tea Party, whatever part of the Republican Party you think you are, all of them agreed that exercising our sovereignty and planning our own exchange was the right thing to do.
Mollendorp's legislation, meanwhile, made it unanimously through the Senate's Insurance Committee. But with session nearing an end and with possible blocks from some opponents, the bill never hit the floor. Instead, the Senate created an interim committee to look into the issue while session was out. But then last month, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to take up legal challenges to part of the federal health law. It won't rule until summer, and Senator Scott Roop, who heads this interim exchange committee, says its work is now on hold.
At this time, it's a hyper-political environment. It is one that there's a lot of questions with the Supreme Court. This is not a time where we're going to be trying to make major policy decisions with so much uncertainty. This is one that we need to continue to work on, but this is not the way to ram something through and get it done.
Missouri is not the only state waiting for the Supreme Court to weigh in on health care.
The decision by the Supreme Court to do a ruling this year did increase the number of the let's wait states.
Ann Gothier is with the National Academy for State Health Policy and says up to 15 states are holding off until they hear what the court has to say. But she says the longer states wait to prepare, the fewer options they'll have when exchanges are live in 2014. She says that's why in some states, even where exchanges are politically unpopular, groups are still continuing to prepare for one. Even in Kansas, where officials there returned about $30 million in federal funds for an exchange, health leaders are still meeting to research various exchange options and details. That appears not to be the case in Missouri, even though the money is there. Missouri asked for and won federal funds, mainly to build the IT structure for a new exchange. It got $21 million. But most of it seems to be tied up right now. That's partly because of a flap over who controls the process. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon is a Democrat. His administration, the insurance director who Nixon appoints, channeled grant funds to a quasi-government body, the Board of the Missouri Health Insurance Pool. It's not subject to legislative oversight.
What concerns me about this administration is they keep having a pattern that keeps popping up of running around the legislature and bypassing us.
State Senator Jane Cunningham is on the Health Exchange Interim Committee I mentioned earlier. Tension between some committee members and the Health Insurance Board overseeing the grant flared up in September. That's when Cunningham and some colleagues got word the board was about to accept the exchange grant funds and start the process of setting one up. They learned of this while holding one of their public hearings on a state health exchange.
Three of us immediately left the hearing, drove across town as quickly as we could to get to the other board meeting, which we were not apprised of, and requested an immediate meeting.
The board postponed accepting the funds. Then a House Budget Committee held a hearing further scrutinizing the board. Neither the Nixon administration, the state insurance director, nor the board of the health insurance pool has responded to KCUR's requests for comments. But it appears the whole process is stuck. The board is now looking at turning the planning for a health exchange and the grant over to a public agency controlled by the legislature. And with the legislative session beginning next week, it's even more uncertain whether anything, grant funds, planning activities, or exchange legislation, will move forward in the months ahead. I'm Alana Gordon.
Not sure where to go, everybody.
That was Alana Gordon in Kansas City. You're listening to Under the Microscope. Nanotechnology is the science of the very small. Nanoscientists manipulate matter at the scale of atoms and molecules, often ending up with materials that behave very differently than their macro-scale counterparts. University of Missouri St. Louis chemist George Gokul was recently named director of UMSL's Center for Nanoscience. St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra spoke with Gokul. Here's an excerpt from their conversation.
Are there nanotechnologies that are already being used today that people might encounter in their everyday lives?
Yes, there certainly are. People are talking about nanocircuits, for example. There are many, many kinds of sensors that people are trying to develop, especially things that could detect, say, airborne toxins that could be put in the atmosphere by a terrorist, or airborne toxins, for example, in a hospital.
So are those things that are already in use now or that are under development?
Yes. Both of those, really. Many sensors are actually practical, and many are still goals.
So we're developing all these new technologies. A lot of people probably don't really understand them or maybe don't even know they're out there. What about risks? What's being done to assess and maybe regulate those?
That's a very good question. As with all new technologies and developments, there needs to be a close examination of what the risks are. It's just not known whether some of these small materials, if they get airborne, would have dire consequences. And if you don't know how much is dangerous, you don't know how to regulate it. And you can regulate it, but it's foolish to regulate it unless you can actually detect it. And so we're working to try to figure out how to detect it so that we can know how much to say you can't have more than.
Yeah, I mean, should we be worried? It sounds like, you know, the pace of our ability to understand these technologies or assess their risks isn't really keeping pace with the rate at which things are being developed, new technologies are being developed.
Well, what's really of concern, I think, as much as anything, is during the manufacturing processes, as these things evolve, what's the worker exposure? What kind of limits will be placed on these things in packaging? What limits will be placed on how they can be stored? Does temperature or light affect them? And those have to be handled, I think, on a case-by-case basis. But we're very much aware of those issues.
That's Under the Microscope this week. Thanks for joining us.